Well, here we are, another week in our series, Setting the Stage, based in Genesis chapter 1 to 3. We've been looking at all sorts of different aspects of Genesis 1 to 3, and then after Easter, we've shifted to get into some practical themes that we see in Genesis. We looked at work with Shane Conlon, we looked at rest with Natalie live and Scott online, and this week we're going to look at leadership. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of leadership. What are the things that come to your mind? I heard it once said that if you think you're a leader and no one's following you, you're just going for a walk. And when I think of leadership, it's a funny word, isn't it? It's something that evokes so many strong emotions. When I think of leadership, I think hard. Leadership is a challenge. Leadership is an opportunity, but it's a challenge. For others, when they think of leadership, they think of it as, oh, don't like leadership. Leadership, they think of some sort of dictatorship or something like that. Leadership has got so many different definitions, and but we do see it in Genesis chapter 1 to 3. We see aspects of leadership. Now, we know that in our Setting the Stage series, it's designed to sort of launch us into themes, even into theologies and understanding of our world and of the Bible. So when we picked up things like covenant, the Trinity, all sorts of different things, curses, sins, blessings, multiplication, a whole lot of stuff we picked up prior to Easter, we saw a fuller, we shared messages with a fuller picture of it that went into the rest of the Bible. Similarly, when we've looked at work and we've looked at rest, and now when we look at leadership, the whole story of leadership's not spelled out in Genesis 1 to 3. It sets the stage of what I would like to call influence. Now, I picked up this definition of leadership many, many years ago from John Maxwell. He said leadership, you can define leadership as influence. So leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. It's simply influence. What I found helpful about that is, as a leader, I had no desire to lord it over people. I had no desire to get people to do what I wanted them to do. I had no desire for any of that. But I did have a desire to influence people to the good things of God. I did have a desire to influence my family for God's best for their lives. I did have a desire to be an influence in the world around me. And so that really helped me understand leadership as influence. And what I found when I was looking in Genesis chapter 1 to 3, I said, particularly chapter 1, we see these words like reign and govern and be stewards of the world sort of thing. And I thought, well, that's actually all about influence. Let me read to you one particular scripture. I'm going to focus on two out of Genesis and then go into other parts of the Bible. But let me read to you from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It said, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, lead it, reign, lead over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. When you read that passage, it's like, well, God blessed man and woman to influence, to shape, to steward, to rule, govern, have dominion. Words like dominion are used in other translations. Subdue is a word that's used in other translations. In fact, the word govern is mostly translated subdue. So one of the things about Genesis 1 to 3 is there is an invitation to lead. Now, what we need to do is lead well. And we start by leadership recognizing that we lead out of our image bearing of God. Let's go back to it. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. That's in verse 26. But it says, let us make beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea. So we lead as image bearers. We lead for God's will and God's purposes and God's world. So we're invited to influence, to steward, to govern, to subdue, to reign, all these different words. We're invited to do it as image bearers of God for God's purposes. Where Genesis 1 to 3, where it all comes unstuck, is when the devil says, you'll be like God if you eat from that fruit and eat from that tree. Well, but our destiny, if you like, as human beings, was to be lead as image bearers. which means to lead with the character of God. And we'll get on to a few things about what leadership looks like in a moment. But I like what Henry Blackaby says. Henry Blackaby says these words about what's, and he calls it spiritual leadership. In his book, Spiritual Leadership, he says this: we lead for God's will, but he says, a spiritual leader, no matter how gifted or qualified, has not led unless people have shifted to God's agenda. Those words have been plastered all over my walls all my life because I just love them. So when I think of leadership as influence, we can influence people to a lot of things. But the thing that we, if we're a spiritual leader, the best thing we can do is we can influence people to God's agenda for their lives, which is exactly what Genesis 1 to 3, or particularly chapter 1 and 2, depicts. It depicts humankind as image bearers of God in partnership with Him, influencing the world to live out God's agenda for the world, for His creation. We lead at Penrith Baptist Church with our theme, As God Moves, AGM, As God Moves. So part of our leadership, if you want to call it spiritual leadership, is to lead the church as God moves, those that have leadership roles. But even as a body, we each aim to influence the church to move on God's agenda as God's move. Now, I teach a lot on leadership over the many, many years because it's a passion of mine. We want good leaders. The church has been ravaged with bad leaders. The world has been ravaged with bad leaders. And I get really passionate about leadership. Then is seen as a dirty word, but leadership should be a great word. And it should be a word where people go, wow, it's great to have a great leader. So what's happened over the years, someone asked me once to put together, what do you see are the most important aspects of leadership? And I came up with the six C's of leadership. And they are character, chemistry, competence, compassion, culture. So we don't lead in a vacuum, we lead in culture, and clarity, we lead with vision. So those six C's. Now, I don't have time to do them all today, but I actually want to pick up three of them. And I want to look at these Genesis verses I've just read and see how they feed into these C's, if you like. And the first one is lead with character. Now, I think this is the most important aspect of leadership. Character. It's interesting when we go back. So God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will." Then it goes on. They will reign. That image bearing is that we lead with the character of Christ. We lead with God's character. That's the best leadership. Is the leadership that imitates Christ. The best leadership is the leader. Character is hugely important in leadership. If we lead without character, we will not influence people to be on God's agenda. We'll influence people to be on other agendas, maybe even our agenda. In fact, leadership in what we have in Timothy and Titus when they're appointing leaders of the church, although that many of those elders are appointed to be leaders of the city, it doesn't actually say appoint. It says appoint leaders in every city, not just in every church. That's a discussion for another day. So sometimes we can get carried away with, we only think leaders who are appointed are leaders in the church. Or actually, when Paul was appointing leaders, they're actually being appointed to the cities and to the communities. But here's what it says about in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, about leadership. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. And then it goes on to describe what that leadership looks like. In Titus and Timothy, it's interesting when leaders are described, they're described in the context of character. Let's have a look at our PBC structure, Penrith Baptist Church structure. And you can see on the screen, we have elders and we have a ministry team, which I feel with, they've got pastors and deacons and ministry leaders. But the beauty of what we did with this is we put some role descriptions together. And we use the six C's to do it. And the first one was character. Because in the Bible, leaders are appointed according to their character, not their competence. Have you ever noticed that people get hired on their resume and fired on their character? That's something to keep in mind. People get hired on their resume and fired on their character. I think things are changing a little bit these days. So you might be brilliant at your job, but if you turn up late every day, if you lie, cheat and steal, you're going to get the sack. If you have amazing character, you're going to get a lot of grace as you're figuring out how to do it, as you grow your competence. Even in Acts chapter 6, we read that the apostles were being overwhelmed with the tasks that they had to do at the time, and I won't go into the depths of those, but we read in chapter 6:3, they needed to appoint some leaders, and this is what happened. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll give them this responsibility. It was all about character. It was all about character, these appointments, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, well respected. In the book of Acts, we see it. I have a particular leadership verse which I really like, which picks this up, and it's David. It's King David. It's not about perfection, because we know David wasn't perfect, but we read in Psalm 78, 72 about David's leadership, and we read, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands he led them." Competence was there, it was his integrity of heart that he shepherded them. He was after the Lord's own heart. Many years ago, I watched a movie called The Emperor's Club, and I really like this movie. It's pretty old now, but it starts with the phrase, "A man's character is his fate." I love that. A man's character is his fate. Have you ever considered that your character is your destiny? We often think about our destiny being the things that we do, or the places that we go, or the mountains that we climb, or the success that we get, or the accumulation that we have. What's our destiny? But I love the idea that our destiny is our character. Do you know, as a leader, I've read these words from John Maxwell: people allow slips in competence, but not slips in character. So Genesis launches us into this amazing opportunity to influence the world, to influence his creation. But we do it as image bearers. We do it God's way, according to God's will. We do it with the character of Christ. Now, I could talk a whole lot more about that. Philippians 2, for instance, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who didn't consider his position as God something to be grasped, but made himself a servant. I could talk about servant leadership. These are all aspects of leading with character. But I don't have time to push into it. I will at other times. But today, we're just going over the 3 of those 6 C's. And the second one I want to talk about is leading with chemistry. What is chemistry? Chemistry is we lead with a good chemistry, relationally good with others. You see, when we're leading or when we're influencing, we are connecting with others. And one of the things that I'm doing quite often when I'm developing leaders or helping leaders along the way, I'm asking questions about their chemistry. If we go to the Genesis 1-3, or these 2 verses in Genesis chapter 1, we read, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image," that's the character stuff, to be like us, our character, and says that, and then it goes, "they will reign," and it goes on to talk about what they will do. But it's "they will." There's a plurality in the language. There's something about that he created human beings in his image, male and female, and they. There's a partnership in this. And even that partnership manifests a little bit in the sense of multiplication. But in Genesis chapter 2, we read these words. "Then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." There's this sense of we do leadership or influence or govern together with others. The leader who in frustration says, "If you want to do something right, I'm better off doing it myself," is lacking the understanding and the potential of team. When the leader says, "I'm so frustrated, if I want something done right, I've got to do it myself," it's a short-sighted approach to leadership. And I get it, because I can be like it myself. Oh, I'd be better off doing it myself. But that's not what influence is. Influence is a good leadership, and good influence is done with great chemistry, and it's done with others. And as I said, that sense of multiplication, be blessed, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, is a sense of influencing the generation to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. And that needs good chemistry. One of the best ways to have good chemistry, and there's a lot of ways, a lot of things I can talk about chemistry. If you want a role model for chemistry, go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah has some of the most amazing chemistry in the Bible to achieve an extraordinary task. But I just want to pick up one key thing about chemistry. A huge key for good chemistry in your leadership, wherever it is, in the workplace, wherever it is to see people in the image of God. Chemistry is strengthened through the way we see people. If you want to go and look further about image bearers, you can go to our message on our YouTube channel on image bearers in the Setting the Stage series that we did prior to Easter. I'm not sure what date it was, but somewhere probably in February, March. But here's the thing. When we read that passage, these passages in Genesis, there's this sense of we're doing it in plurality. I want to actually, and we're doing, and we function in the image of God, like us. That was the thing. We've created man, humankind in our image, like us, to be like us. That's how we'll have good chemistry, if we see others the same way. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says this, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. So a leader's job is to draw out the deep water, the purposes of a person's heart, and treat it like deep waters. It's like dropping a bucket into the well and pulling out of people their potential and everything that they've been created to be by God. That's what influence is all about. That's what leadership is all about. That is what it is to develop and grow people. We recognize in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for it says this, those that have come to know the Lord, those have given their life to him, we recognize, Paul says, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. When you lead somebody and you see them as image bearers and you see them as deep waters, not shallow puddles, and you see them as uniquely formed in Christ as his masterpiece, you see people differently, and you're not aiming to get people on your agenda. You're aiming for them to be on God's agenda. You're aiming to develop their potential. Good chemistry isn't just about getting on with somebody. It's about growing people. Let's have a look at a helpful diagram called the Five Levels of Leadership by John Maxwell. And here's the five levels of leadership. You can see it on the screen. The first level of leadership is position. And he says, basically, people follow you because they have to. It's a strong leadership in the army. My hierarchy is above your hierarchy. So I'm your commander. You do what I say. People follow because they have to. The second level of leadership is permission. It's about relationships. People follow you because they want to, because they like you. So sometimes we go, that's great, that's great. But sometimes what happens is people go, and they want level three, production, results. People follow you because of what you have done for the organization and what you're achieving together. And that's, I think most leadership stops there. I try to aim for level four, people development, reproduction. People follow you because of what you have done for them. So good chemistry grows people towards God and God's agenda for their life. Good chemistry invites people to become the deep waters. And as we go back to those verses, which says purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, one with insight draws them out. That's what good chemistry does. Good chemistry and leadership, you're tapping people on the shoulders and inviting them into opportunities. Good chemistry and leadership means you pray for people, you slow down and you open your eyes to think through what they're going through. And then you pray for the things that God's putting in their hearts and in their lives. Good chemistry is listening to the hearts of people and understanding where they might fit in an organization or in God's world. Good chemistry is casting vision for people and then aligning the vision that they have in their life with the vision of maybe an organization. Good chemistry is constantly giving people a chance to try things. Good chemistry is helping people clarify God's call on their life. Good chemistry is actually eyes wide open in the community around, looking for the potential of what God's doing. You heard me talk about David. The funny thing about David is that David was, when he became king, everybody had forgotten about him. Samuel was looking for the next king. Jesse, his dad, was bringing his children in front of him. And God saying, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him. And then Samuel says, is there anybody else? Oh, yeah, there's David. He's out in the field. I'll bring him in. So good chemistry is eyes wide open to people who maybe on the fringes or people who maybe we never saw. Good chemistry is looking around to grow people. It's all those other things. It's relational, it's care, it's all those things. But good chemistry, when it's really flying, is seeing people as image bearers, seeing people as created in the image of God, as his masterpiece. And the third C I want to talk about, and there's six of them, we're only doing three today. The third C is we lead with competence. As much as character and chemistry, I love those two. And I love clarity as well, but I'd talk about that too long. That's why I didn't choose that one. But it's competence is important. It said, then we go back to Genesis 1. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over. So there's something about do the job, increase your skills, govern, reign, actually apply. It's there. We lead and we're given capacity and skills to do it. He said, God blessed them. So he equipped them. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, all the animals that scurry on the grounds. So competencies are given by God to achieve God's purposes. They are a blessing from God. Let's go back to David again, Psalm 78, 72, that verse I shared. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and with skillful hands he led them. Remember when he was coming against Goliath, he said, I've fought off bears, I've fought off lions, I can fight off this giant that's in front of us. Competence is a key part of leadership. And it's important for us to understand as a leader our competencies, and also to develop the competencies in others. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I love that because it's saying that we have got capacities and we have got gifts that have been given by God, which often are used to build his church, but they're to build his kingdom. And they minister the grace of God. When we use our competencies well, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are stewarding God's grace in its various forms, many and various forms. Grow in your competencies. Understand your competencies. I love these words in another proverb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. How do we grow our competencies? With discipline. How do we grow our leadership? We grow our leadership with wisdom, with discipline, with character, all these things. We grow our leadership. We learn. We become lifelong learners. I love the parable of the talents. You've been faithful with a little, now have this much. I love that. Don't grab our competencies and gifts and bury them in the ground. Use them for God's work. Remember what Shane said? There's no difference between the sacred and the secular. It's all sacred. So take your competences and use your capacities wherever they are And let God, there's a principle as we do this that God gives us more opportunities. But remember this, words of Henry Blackaby. Remember, God doesn't give assignments that outweigh your character. So I've done the full circle. You'll have assignments, you'll have opportunities, you'll have people that you potentially can influence. And you can apply everything I've done today. You can apply it to your family, to your workplace. You can apply it to the environment around you, to the church. All sorts of places you can apply this character chemistry and competence. But I do like what Blackaby says. Remember, God doesn't give assignments that outweigh your character. Your character as image bearers of God will actually be the thing. If you compromise your character and you lead with selfishness and you influence for your own gain, you become very worldly in your leadership. I will share Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45 with you. But it shall not be so but so among you when Jesus was saying to his disciples, you won't be like the world, the way the world leads. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is talking about those of the in the world who lead the world's way, lord it over others, but it won't be so with you because we will lead out of the character of Christ. I may make a part two of this message, which picks up the other three C's, and we'll just put that on our YouTube channel. But in conclusion, there's a few, we're invited to influence God's world. And will you do that? Will you take your place in God's world as an influencer of his world? Not an influencer on social media, an influencer as an image bearer of God. Now, you might do that on social media. I'll leave it with you. But remember, you're bearing the image of God. We have learned today to not separate the secular and the sacred. It's all sacred. We've learned that over this whole series, we've learned that sin, curse and covenant will shape our influence. And what I mean by that, we've learned that leadership after the fall or after the sin entered the world became challenging. We've learned today that we influence as image bearers. We've learned today that we've been blessed to govern. We've been blessed by God. Now go, be fruitful, multiply and govern. I really love the idea of people taking opportunities and responsibilities in leadership. And I really love these six C's because they focus not on how good you are, how popular you are. There's a C I didn't pick, and that's charisma. It's not even about being charismatic. It's about character, which love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Chemistry, love others, love your neighbor as yourself. And competency and compassion and vision and clarity and all that stuff. So I hope that you really enjoyed today. You can tell because I can't even wrap this up. I love talking about leadership because good, godly leaders make a difference in this world. And we never should underestimate what we might be called to influence. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we have a commissioning to influence. Genesis 1-3 invites us to heavy responsibilities. Subdue, have dominion, govern, reign. They are big words, Lord. And I pray that we would do it out of the character of Christ, because that was the context. Out of your blessing and out of your character. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening. We're going into relationships next. They're our next couple of themes. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great week of influence.